Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. A few announcements before we begin our time together. First, I want you to be aware that on July the 26th, as long as nothing else changes and we're still able to be able to leave and come certain places, that we're going to be doing drive-through communion. Now, the way that we're going to do that is a Sunday, and I will sort of have a blessing of the communion as part of the service, but it is something that you'll be able to see part of the blessing of the communion, but that does not mean that we're doing communion online. We're not doing communion online, but I will have part of the liturgy within our service on that Sunday. And then when you drive through, there will be a small piece of liturgy that we will engage in as you're served communion at your vehicle. So I hope that you will plan on that day to come for drive-through communion. And that will be taking place between 12 and 2. So I will be here at church between 12 and 2 on Sunday, the 26th of July, for drive-through communion. So please put that on your calendar and look for more information to come out. Secondly, please note that our Bible study, our food distribution on Wednesday evenings, and the food pantry are all ongoing. If you need more information about that, please contact the office and we can make sure that that information finds its way to you. And finally, I'm happy to announce that the organ project is almost completed. They've made rapid work of not only cleaning the organ, fixing the interior of the rooms, and then putting the organ back together. And that's truly amazing how they've been able to coordinate those two tasks together, and we are so grateful for that speed and that efficiency that when we do begin again to worship in person in the future, we will have the best musical equipment that we can have to do so. Now I would invite you to prepare your hearts, your minds, and your souls for worship as we listen to our prelude.
As I watched, thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his place. His clothes were of the purest white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the finest wool. His throne was a blazing fire, with wheels that burned like the sun, and streams of fire flowed out from all around him. Countless thousands of heavenly beings were there to serve him. Millions stood by to attend him. The time of judgment began, and the books were opened. And I saw what looked like a Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was ushered into his presence. And he was crowned king and given authority, honor, power, and glory, so that all people of every nation and race would serve him. His dominion will last forever, for his kingdom is eternal and will never be destroyed.
Come now to our time of prayer, and I would ask that you join with me in our unison prayer. Forgiveness is mercy. Such pardon and kindness I cannot fathom. Forgiveness is unfailing love. Such patience and understanding I cannot comprehend. Forgiveness is overwhelming compassion. Such sympathy and warmth I cannot reciprocate. Forgiveness is the blotting out of transgressions. Such freedom and goodwill I do not deserve. Forgiveness is the washing away of my iniquities, such purity and newness I cannot maintain. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. Now let us have a time of silent, prayerful reflection as we listen to some music and engage in silent meditation and prayer. Lord, we gather this day, and we know that you are with us wherever we find ourselves. We are right now a people who can understand and relate to Daniel. We are a people of exile who have been taken away from the land that we know and love, the church where we gather to worship you, and yet we recognize and realize that you are with us no matter where we are, O God. We ask that you would continue to sustain us in our journey. And we ask that you would help us and lift up the prayers that we hear to you and hold them in your hands. We specifically pray for Ralph Kane, We are saddened by his passing, and we mourn and lament with him and his family. We ask that you would hold them in your hearts, and that you would hold them in your hands as we hold them in our hearts and our prayers. May we continue always to offer our grief, our mercy, our support, our love to Colleen and all of Ralph's family. We also pray for Jay Taylor, and we pray for all of those in our communities who are struggling in some way. God be with us until we meet again, but in that time we know that you gave us words that we could pray, even when we are apart. And so we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning, kids, youth, children of all ages. Welcome to our children's moment. We're back here in Pastor Andrew, my office again today, and I have one thing that I was given this week to lift up during our children's moment to celebrate, and it's my own daughter. Nora turned 3 this week, and we're so excited, exhausted, but also excited as she continues to grow and just enjoy life and the daily adventure that she takes us on, and so we're so happy to celebrate her 3rd birthday. But we're also today talking about Daniel still. It's our final Sunday of Daniel. And Daniel, today we're going to talk about a prayer. And Daniel had a really big prayer to God. So I thought we could talk about prayer for a little bit. So like I said, we're here in my office, and I have a whole bunch of things in my office hung up and scattered around that mean a lot of different things to me. But behind me are a couple different things. This is just something I got at Target. Not super exciting, but I like what it says. But this is what I wanted to draw your attention to. It's something that I got in Cambodia when I was there during my time in seminary. And it's in 2 languages. The top is in English and the bottom is in Khmer, which is a language that I cannot read and cannot write and cannot speak. But it is the same thing that is on the top, and it is a scripture verse. And it says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. And that's something that I got this while I was there, and it always reminds me to be prayerful and remember that I need God in my life, no matter what that I am doing, that it is helpful always to have God. And so one of the ways that we connect with God is through prayer. So, pull my chair over, and we'll tip this thing down. There we go. I think we can all see that now. So, here in my office, I have a little sort of altar of sorts that I've put together. And this is something we did when I was in seminary. And some of this stuff is from seminary, including the cloth upon which it sits. But it is essentially an altar of things that are important and that things that remind me and bring me closer to God. And so first I have back here, it's hard to see, but there's actually, if I put my hand behind it, maybe you can see it better. There's actually a cross back there. It's a glass cross that was given to me when I completed seminary as part of my calling by my aunt on my father's side. And so she gave that to me. It always reminds me of the importance of my calling and of the importance of transparency that God brings into our lives. And it's something that helps me when I pray. Also, kids, I have these stones right here. Now, if you've ever been baptized by me, like my daughter, you'll probably recognize that these are often hidden in our baptismal font. But each one of these stones is a stone that I picked up during a remembrance of baptism ceremony to remember my own baptism. And so it's something that when I pray, I kind of move them around in my hand to remind me of the gift of the Holy Spirit that is within me, that has been watered and nurtured by many, and that God uses in me. And so I have those to help me when I pray. When I went to my first ever annual conference, 2 women that I sat by got this for me. Because they found out I was going to seminary and getting commissioned as a provisional elder, and they said that they wanted to support me in that. It's my first and only time I've ever been to annual conference in the Great Plains. And they got me this, and it says, the best of all is God is with us. It's a quote by John Wesley, and they said that was important for them that I had that. So that's part of my prayer as well, remembering that same theme, God is with us. And then finally, I have this bell. And this is a bell that was given to me by my grandmother, my mother's mom. And I used to always ring it when we would do family dinners at their house many years ago before all the grandkids got old and scattered. But this bell is always a reminder to me of prayer as well, because it was a time of quiet before a meal. It would ring. I would ring it because I had to. I would ring it, and it was a time of quiet and centering as we would all gather around the table and prepare ourselves and often share in a prayer. Grandma, if you're watching. And so kids, all of these are things that remind me of God and connect me closer and that can help me when I pray. So I hope this week you'll find things around your house, in your room, or in your kitchen, or in your living room, in the car, wherever you find yourself, that remind you of God, and that when you would pray would help direct you closer to God, that you would say, God, I remember how you blessed me in this way because of this amazing opportunity that I had to go on a trip, or to interact with family, or to just remember your baptism and that you are present with me. And so prayer is one way that we do that. And so I hope that you will take the challenge this week to find innovative ways to pray, my little young ones. So run around outside to pray. Sit in the shady spot outside and pray. Go inside to your house and find a spot you've never been before and pray. Stand on your head and pray, safely, of course, or lay on your back and pray. You know, find different ways to engage with God. But in all things, remember to take time to pray and connect with God, just like I do. Now let's get back to the rest of our worship service.
In the first year of Darius's rule, Darius, who was Ahasuerus's son, a Median by birth, and who ruled the Chaldean kingdom, I, Daniel, pondered the scrolls, specifically the number of years that it would take to complete Jerusalem's desolation according to the Lord's word to the prophet Jeremiah. It was 70 years. I then turned my face to my Lord God, asking for an answer with prayer and pleading, and with fasting, mourning clothes, and ashes. As I prayed to the Lord my God, I made this confession. Please, my Lord, you are the greatest and awesome God, the one who keeps the covenant and truly faithful to all who love him and keep his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have brought guilt on ourselves and rebelled, ignoring your commands and your laws. We haven't listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our leaders, our parents, and to all the land's people.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 7 through 19. So it continues from the first reading. Righteousness belongs to you, my Lord, but we are ashamed this day. We, the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Israel, whether near or far, in whatever country where you've driven them because of their unfaithfulness when they broke faith with you. Lord, we are ashamed. We, our kings, our leaders, and our parents who sinned against you. Compassion and deep forgiveness belong to my Lord, our God, because we rebelled against him. We didn't listen to the voice of the Lord our God by following the teachings he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel broke your instruction and turned away, ignoring your voice. Then the curse that was sworn long ago, the one written in the instruction from Moses, God's servant, swept over us because we sinned against God. God confirmed the words he spoke against us and against our rulers, bringing great trouble upon us. What happened in Jerusalem hasn't happened anywhere else in the entire world. All this trouble came upon us exactly as it was written in the instruction of Moses, but we didn't try to reconcile with the Lord our God by turning from our wrongdoings or by finding wisdom in your faithfulness. So the Lord oversaw the great trouble and brought it on us because the Lord our God has been right in every move he's made, but we haven't listened to his voice. But now, my Lord our God, you who brought your people out of Egypt with a strong hand, making a name for yourself even to this day, we have sinned and done the wrong thing. My Lord, please, in line with your many righteous acts, Please turn your raging anger from Jerusalem, which is your city, your own holy mountain. Because of our sins and the wrongdoing of our parents, both Jerusalem and your people have become a disgrace to all our neighbors. But now, our God, listen to your servant's prayer and pleas for help. Shine your face on your ruined sanctuary for your own sake, my Lord. Open your ears, my God, and listen. Open your eyes and look at our devastation. Look at the city called by your name. We pray our prayers for help to you, not because of any righteous acts of ours, but because of your great compassion. My Lord, listen. My Lord, forgive. My Lord, pay attention and act. Don't delay. My God, do all this for your own sake, because your city and your people are called by your name. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. We conclude our look into David today with this prayer. Now, we've skipped a couple of David's visions, some of David's interpretations of those visions, and some of David's prayer and further visions to come. And we're ending with this prayer because I think it really sums up what Daniel has always been about, who Daniel will continue to be, and how Daniel understands the predicament in which the Israelites find themselves. Daniel's prayer is one of understanding. Daniel understands the situation in which the Jewish people find themselves. For all the power and all the authority and all the riches that Daniel has been able to accrue due to his service to the king, he recognizes that it is still something that is not enough. That ultimately it is his faith in God that is truly important, and the restoration of his people to their homeland in Jerusalem that matters the most, the reestablishment of the kingdom on earth. So Daniel prays this prayer. He prays that God would remember mercy and compassion upon his people, not because of anything that we have done, not because of acts of faith or works that we have gone out and proclaimed and done. No, Daniel simply says, you are a God of mercy. You are our God. For your righteousness, have mercy on us. Daniel laments the state in which the people have found themselves. And this prayer is one that I think we can resonate with so much right now. We are looking everywhere for answers as the world seems to grow more and more chaotic and more confusing every day. And we say, my God, why have you forsaken us? My God, where are you? My Lord, you should hear our prayers. We must all recognize the ways that God has been and continues to be at work and calls us to join in that work. All of the gifts that God has bestowed upon us and the ways that we can be God's people in the work of restoration of the kingdom here on earth. Daniel's prayer is a prayer of understanding. He gets what's going on. He recognizes how this situation has transpired, not through some divine wrath or anything of that nature, but it is from their own failing. A people who did not heed wisdom and direction from God, who turned away from the Lord and turned instead to the world, made decisions based off of worldly concerns instead of holding God above all things. And Daniel says, we know we shouldn't have done that, and yet we did. It's very similar to the writing on the wall from last week. Daniel's like, yeah, the king messed up and he should have learned, but we should also have the people have learned. We had so many opportunities, Daniel says, and now I say to you, we had so many opportunities to learn and listen, and yet often we find that we don't. We fall short. We don't listen and learn from our past, and we don't pay attention to our future and what it may or may not be, because of our own actions. We are a people of prayer. We are a people of faith, a people of understanding, grounded and rooted in the depth and love and mercy of God that happened on a cross. But we must recognize that this mighty gift is one that we are called to live into and out of and not squander. We are to be a people of reason and logic. We are to listen and attune our whole being and every aspect of our life towards God, to delve and learn more deeply about ourselves and our own spirit through prayer and many other things, that we would be a people of deep and strong faith, so that when we look at the world, we would find where God is and where God is calling us to be, but that we would also be a proactive people who work to make sure we do not find ourselves in situations where we then ask, "Where are you, God?" And God says, "I tried and I tried to give you wisdom and guidance to bail you out of the path you were on, but you did not heed it." Prayer is one such way that we do this. True prayer, not shallow prayer, where we sit down and say, "God, my foot hurts, and oh, and the air conditioner is kind of making some ruckus, and if you could take care of that." But instead, we sit down and we truly just say, "God, breathe your spirit into me. Mold me, fill me, use me. God, help me to hear your will for me and for the world. Help me to see how we are all connected, O Lord." We must be a people of deep prayer, not shallow prayer, because when we engage in prayer with depth, we recognize and we learn and we love and we grow closer to God. When we pray, it causes us to do something. It causes us to think about more than just ourselves. When we engage in deep prayer, it causes us to think about more than ourselves. If you find that all of your prayer is about yourself, then I challenge you to be deeper in your prayer life. Our prayers should not be 100% about us. We should always find an ability to spare a little bit of prayer, even in our darkest of times, for somebody else. We are to be a people of deep prayer for the same reason that it's important with how we raise children. One of the things I've learned is that I have to work to teach my daughter empathy and sympathy. And it's tough to sort of say to her, "Well, why do you think they're crying? Why do you think they're sad?" Especially when she's the one that has made that happen. But it's something that triggers and works in her to reflect and say, "Why?" And ask if she and how she is involved. This is what our prayer life should do for us. Our prayer life should be something where we say, "This happened, and now I realize how I caused it, led into it, helped it transpire, and did not do enough to undo or prevent this. Oh Lord, breathe into me and use me. You are a God of righteousness, a God of mercy, and a God of love, and we did not listen. But now we pray that you would show us that mercy and that grace yet again, O Lord, and that we would be a people who would receive, take it in, listen to, and hear it, and recognize what you and who you are calling all of us to be." Daniel prays a prayer of understanding. And those are the hardest prayers, because often they make us take hard looks at ourselves, hard looks at our society, and hard looks at how we are in the situations that we are. But when we do that, when we engage in deep, authentic prayer, just like Daniel, we connect ourselves more fully to God and to one another, and we realize that we can overcome anything when we remain rooted in deep faith, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, just like Daniel. Amen. Now let us join in our next hymn.
Sin and dark guilt, yonder on Calvary. grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, brighter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
We come now to our time of offertory. And I recognize that we cannot be together to put every single one of our gifts and our offerings on the altar before God. But I know that we can still offer ourselves and our lives and our gifts to God no matter where we find ourselves. Because God is not limited by a building and a place. God is present within each and every one of us. So now let us pause for a moment as we offer ourselves and our gifts and our prayers and our witness and our service to God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, even heroes. Praise for the Son and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now let us join in our unison prayer. Help us to trust in You, O Lord, to hold fast to Your teaching and guidance. Grant us the wisdom to be true disciples in a world full of options. Help us to be more fully Your disciples in all aspects of our lives. May we live generously. Amen. So as you prepare to go back out into the world, may you remember that God is with you, and that when we are a people of deep prayer, we remain connected and attuned to the work of God in the world. May you always remember that being a prayerful person is an integral part of discipleship, and that when we are prayerful, God can work through us in miraculous ways, and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel of any situation. So may God be with you till we meet again. Let us join in our benediction response.
Till we meet again, 'neath His wings secure.